I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Orly Waba. Orly is an educator, an entrepreneur, and a community activist. She's passionate about inspiring and motivating people to make the world a kinder place. In 2011, Orly founded Life Vest Inside, a nonprofit organization with a mission to empower and unite the world with kindness. Through Life Vest Inside, Orly encourages people to embrace the incredible power of giving and recognize that in times of hardship, kindness, like a life vest, keeps the world afloat. Life Vest Inside gained international acclaim when Orly's award-winning film, Kindness Boomerang, went viral, receiving over 30 million views and counting, and eventually landing her a spot to speak at TED 2013 on the magic of kindness. Orly began her career in kindness as a middle school educator, empowering children to embrace unity, build their self-value, and use their power to influence the world for good. As her kindness community grows by the thousands, more people are experiencing the addictiveness in the giving of kindness. Orly, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you guys inviting me.
Well, I know we're going to have a lot to talk about. And you and I chatted a little bit before we started recording. But I wondered if we could start off by actually talking about this process with the film that I described in the introduction. Were you still a middle school teacher when your film went viral?
Actually, I was not. I shot the film September 1st, 2010. This was the summer right before I decided to leave teaching. And it was right after I shot the film, you know, I realized, I said, if I believe in this enough, I gotta go all in. And when I got back to school, that, you know, those next few days, I said to the school, you know, I think I need to take the following year off. I need to see what happens if I put my all into this. The thing is, I'm very much a perfectionist. And so I was afraid to really share this film because I didn't have my website ready and I didn't have this and I didn't have that. There were so many things that I didn't know. You know, I was a teacher for 7 years. And so it was only when I left that following year, so September of that following year of 2011, when I started actually working on the organization full time. A month passed and, you know, things were still not moving the speed that I wanted. I expected everything to happen, you know, like in a blink of an eye. And I said, you know what, look, I'm having a hard time getting my website. I sort of swallowed that perfectionist pride of mine. I said, you know what, I'm going to put this film up online. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe it'll reach somebody. Maybe somebody will stumble on it and they'll be inspired. At the time, I literally knew nothing about social media. I mean, I had to actually like YouTube a video of how to upload a video to YouTube. I kid you not. If I wanted to speak to somebody, I was calling them on the phone. So I said, let me just post this up and I'm going to see what happens. Why should I hold something back like this? And so I took that leap and I made it live on October 1st of 2011. So I was working only full-time now in the organization. And within a couple of months, the film just went insanely viral. I can't believe that I was that close to sort of holding it back and not actually putting it up until everything was ready. There's no such thing as everything being ready, you know. Very often we keep waiting for that right moment. But there's always going to be things to do. It's sort of realizing and recognizing that whatever it is you're working on, whether it's an organization or a project, it's all a work in progress. And until you actually start, you're not going to know what you don't know, you know?
It is so true. It's so true. I see this all the time with people. I've experienced it myself. I know as an example, when I started this podcast over a year ago, I knew nothing about podcasting. Didn't know whether it was going to be any good. Didn't know whether I would like it. I can relate totally. And this is something that entrepreneurs go through all the time. It's like, when is it good enough to go forward? When is it good enough to take that first step? And talk to me a little bit about what you were feeling when you finally pulled the trigger.
I got to tell you, I mean, there's a lot of fear, especially the fact that I left my job to do this. I loved teaching. I don't think that there's a day, honestly, since I left teaching, there's not a day that has gone by that I don't bring up teaching and my students, because it's probably been one of the biggest influences in my life and allowed me to sort of to do this. And it was very scary to, you know, to think that I'm not going to be teaching and I'm going into a world that I had no clue about. I knew nothing about nonprofits. I knew nothing, like I said, about marketing or social media. Or it had been 7 years since I had done film. I had a background in film production. I went to college for film production. And it had been 7 years since I had done film. 7 years. You know, my original plan, and nothing comes out the way that we planned, but when I graduated college, my plan was to make a film that was going to reach the world. I very much believe that. I believe that I had a message, and media is a very powerful tool. And after I did that film, I was going to go into teaching because I love kids and I love being able to, you know, to create an impact with them. Turned out, you know, life had the exact opposite plan for me, and I ended up going into teaching. And really, that's what sort of led me to being able to do, you know, Kindness Boomerang. So there was a lot of fear around even filming it, you know, questioning myself as to whether I was good enough, whether I knew what I was doing. And when I finally, and plus a lot of discouragement. Sometimes we get discouragement, honestly, from the people that are closest to us.
Yeah. I would say very often.
Yeah, it's very, it's, it really
the,
does.
The naysayers are swirling around us.
Yeah, and it's sometimes, and like I was saying, it's the people that are really closest to us. And my family members, people that knew me, they thought I was absolutely crazy. What are you doing? You know, leaving this job, it's a steady job. And it wasn't just a job for me. I loved, like I said, I loved teaching to pursue this. Do you think you're really going to change the world? People looked at me like I was absolutely out of my mind. And some people still do. My family members still are on my case, you know, because this has really been sort of that dream I had ever since I was a four-year-old kid that really dreamed of changing the world and felt that there was something major I was meant to do in my life. Not sure what it was, but really felt like there was something major that was meant for me. And so when I shot the film, you know, I had to invest a tremendous amount of my savings there. You know, people thought I was crazy. And then when I left my job, it was even more so. It was very scary. You know, putting that up there and sharing something that I felt very connected to, that I have a tremendous passion about, but not knowing who else was going to see it, is definitely a fear in terms of how people are going to accept it or what's going to happen. But it was wild to see the sort of response. You know, people were commenting and I was doing what I knew best. If someone's talking to me, I'm going to talk back. And there were, like, I'm talking about thousands and thousands of comments coming in on a daily basis. And all I was doing until this day, you know, my philosophy is no comment gets left behind. The whole, you know, everything about this organization really stems from connecting with people. I love people more than anything. That's my big passion in life. It's people. I love people. And I love empowering people. So, yeah, there was definitely that fear of releasing it. There was that fear of the unknown. Of really, I didn't know anything. I didn't know how I was going to build this organization or this dream that I had, that my dream is changing the world with the power of kindness. And a lot of people saying, oh, what is this? It's very fluffy. What do you think this means? Well, you know, how do you think you can actually change it? Now, all of a sudden, over the past couple of years, there's been so much science behind this, you know, that's bringing that proof. But it was definitely scary in the beginning, very much so. And the truth is, it's scary still till today.
So Orly, what tips can you offer our listeners? Because I know that this is something that everybody goes through. Tips can you offer listeners about how to address the fears, how to keep moving forward in spite of them, and then how to actually take that step where you're really not sure what the result is going to be?
So I think that the best advice I could give to anybody, and I know it's going to sound really simple, is you have to believe in yourself. That's not easy, actually.
No, it's not. It's very hard.
It's very hard to believe in ourselves, especially when others are discouraging us or telling us that we can't. And it's something that has to be constantly worked on. Recognizing your value, and that's really the whole premise of Life Fest Inside, is about empowerment and helping people recognize the value that they have. Each and every person, you have to know that you have something important and powerful to give to the world. So things are not going to always turn out the way that you want. Sometimes you're going to work fully on a project, and you know what? Sometimes it's going to fail. But I think that the big thing is not being afraid of failure, because failure really is our greatest teacher. It teaches us what we don't know, what we need to know. It helps to strengthen us so that we can, you know, it helps us find a certain strength within ourselves that we wouldn't have found otherwise had we not fallen, had we not stumbled. So continuously reminding yourself to believe in yourself. And I think more than that even is always asking the question of why you're doing it. You know, if you keep reminding yourself of why you're doing what you're doing, The how will figure its way out. Very often we sometimes focus on the how. How am I possibly going to do it? And I do this too. You know, it's still this day. I have to get myself out of that. How can I do this? It seems like it's so hard. How? But you have to stop. Don't ask about the how. Ask about the why. And if your passion is there and you continue to remember what it is and the reason you're doing it, those answers are going to come into play. But it's going to be scary. It's going to be tough. But you can do it.
So now I have a very practical question, which is the, maybe it's the tactical piece, which is that many people struggle to get attention, to get anyone to pay attention to what they're doing, particularly when you're thinking about marketing.
Yep.
What do you think it takes to get a film to go viral? Do you have any tips?
There, I got to tell you something. You know, a lot of people ask me, they're like, Orly, how did you make that film go viral? And you know what I said? I didn't do anything. Honestly, I really didn't. I didn't know anything in terms of marketing. I wasn't doing anything specific to make it go viral. And I don't think that, and again, I this is my opinion, and I know that other people will give other opinions of this. I don't think that you can sit down and actually ask yourself, how can I make this go viral? The way first, you have to actually just do, you have to put something out there that's from your heart. I believe it. I believe very, very much that when you put your whole heart into something and you put that energy in, people are going to feel it. You know, that same film that went viral could have been made by a different person. You could take the same film, the same concept, and have two people work on it. And one will connect with people and one won't. The same exact content. I really believe this. But why will one connect and why one won't? It's because of the energy factor and the passion and the purity of spirit and soul that a person is putting into that project. I think that that's what gets communicated. I really believe so. You know, I did this film. It was all based on real life experiences I went through. I had no idea where it was going to go. I knew where I wanted it to go. I knew how I could see it going there. I didn't know how, but the passion that I put into it, the energy, the thought energy, the vibration energy I put into it, I think that that's what really made it sort of have that impact, because it was very real and it was based on something real. It wasn't sitting down and writing, trying to think, how am I going to invoke emotion from people? But that wasn't what happened. The reason I wanted to do this film is because I said, I want to show people. I had my summer off from teaching, right? You have 2 months off. And I was like, I want to show people the ability that kindness has to go from one person to the next. I didn't know what was going to be with it. So I literally sat down and I just started writing from my heart. Experiences, little tiny moments that have impacted me. I'm talking about tiny things. And I had like 100 of these things. And I put them all on post-its and they're all up on my wall. And so there was a lot of thought energy that went into it. And I said, how cool would it be if each of these connects? And, you know, I chose the several of them and sort of made that connection. But there was a whole nother aspect to making this film. If you want something to reach, touch people, speak from your heart. Very often we look to see how do I have to change my thoughts to be what that person wants to see? I just want to say, there's no such thing. Be you. Because who you are is very, very powerful and very special. If you're going to try and want to be that other guy, then who's taking your place? You know, the way I always say is that each and every one of us are like a piece of a puzzle. Different shapes, different colors, but each and every one the same size, because we're all just as important. And if you don't believe enough in the fact that you are that piece, and if you're not there, something is missing, and that puzzle won't go up on the wall because it just will look incomplete. You need to really understand and recognize that. And very often we can get caught up with looking at other people that are succeeding above us and saying, how come they're able to get to that success so fast? Or how come, and it's very hard to make ourselves stop doing that. It is. I can do it myself. But then it's like you have to stop and say, wait, I'm going to be me. Because who I am, I can bring something special to the table that someone else can't. If I'm going to try and want to, you know, portray what I think that person wants to understand or that person, they're not really going to accept my message. It's no longer my message. It's tainted. If you do something with your whole self, I promise you, people are going to connect with it. But it becomes hard because we're influenced so much by what we see and by a lot of the successes of people that we see. And we don't realize that there's also been a lot of struggles that those people that succeeded are going through. We don't see it. We just see, you know, the lights and the whistles and the whole thing. But, you know, you'll get to where you need to get to at the time that you need to get there. But you'll only be able to do it if you begin to recognize that what you have to say is important, what you have to do is important, and you stick to that.
And be authentic.
Be authentic, 100%. I mean, you, just being yourself, you know, people, you know, be yourself, people say it all the time. It's not easy, because you have to remind yourself that yourself is great. You know, you are. You are. There's no reason why you're not. Each person is unique and special and significant in their own way. And even though, you know, we might be one in 7 billion, the number to that matters is that you're one. You know?
That's a great message. Orly, what do you see as the connection between being an entrepreneur, being an educator, and being a community activist?
Wow. I see them being so much connected. You know, for me, being an educator, it's not just about being an educator. While I was an educator, I was also a student, because teachers, oh my goodness, I have a huge respect for teachers, but for me, my students taught me so much. Yes, they may come to me and tell me, Orly, you taught me this, you taught me that, but I had the opportunity to learn a tremendous amount. And so my years teaching definitely contributed to the idea of being able to listen. You need, when you're an educator, it's not just about giving over the information. You need to also be able to receive the information. You need to be able to connect with, you know, especially with the students. It's not just about what they're saying, it's about what they're feeling. It's seeing beyond what a person is saying. And it was also, for me, it was helping them see their potential. That means that you have to be able to see it. You have to begin to recognize that. And I think that that's very much connected to an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is looking for things that people don't necessarily see right off the bat, and trusting. You have to be able to trust. My work, you know, my work with everything started as a community activist. I mean, I started my senior year of high school when I sort of came into my own. After going through, you know, various hardships in my sophomore year of high school, and sort of walking alone through my years of high school and falling into a very dark depression, I really got to find myself. And I got to find my own voice, and I became validated for the right reasons. It wasn't about what society tells us should validate us. It wasn't about how many friends we have or how much money we have or how popular we are. But it's just about, you know, happiness can only come from you. And after coming into my own in my senior year, I was literally involved in every sort of community activity that I possibly could. And what I found is that when I gave, I was healing. All the hurt that I went through during my high school years, as I gave, I continued to heal. And the more I gave, the more I healed. And that led me into just wanting, you know, realizing and recognizing the power that I had to give and wanting to be able to just give back in so many ways. That's what led me into education, because I wanted to be able to give back to my students, help kids see themselves in a way that, you know, that they're unable to, because I sort of felt like I wasn't seen as a kid. But each of them, I see them being extremely connected. One led me to the next, into the next, and into the next. And sort of different pieces of my puzzle led me to where I am today. You know, have taken that leap and to trust myself to give back in an even bigger way. So whereas my classroom was just a small group of people, now it's like my classroom is the world, and it's really exciting. My journey with you know, getting into the work I do with Life Fest Inside really wasn't something that just started from doing that film. It's something that really began ever since I was a 4-year-old kid, like I said earlier, that wanted to change the whole entire world. And I very much believed that I was meant to. I had a lot of discouragement as a kid. You know, being a student, first of all, in elementary school, learning was very, very difficult for me, very difficult. And I had my, you know, brothers, as they tend to be brothers, you know, making fun of me, saying, oh, okay, singing me the Michael Jackson song, Heal the World. All right, Orly, gonna heal the world. And a lot of people thinking that I'm just nuts for thinking that I have the ability or capability to do certain things. And so it sort of made me start questioning my own value, my own capability. My sophomore year of high school, we had a tragedy in my house. We had a fire in my house, and we lost everything. Thank God, I mean, everybody was okay, but it sort of felt like as if I wasn't here tomorrow, would anybody even know? Like there were certain, like those memories that were just sort of erased. But at the same time, my dad lost his business. And it was kind of one of those years where when he thought that things couldn't get worse, they did. And one thing after the next continued to get worse and worse. And I was always a person that believed that everything happens for a reason. I remember coming to school the next day and just saying, oh yeah, guys, hey, my house burned down, you know, like making a joke of it. because it does something to you when you see your parents break down, you see your parents cry, you know, those people, the strongest people in your life that you very much admire. And I didn't want to be a burden on them because I knew what they were going through was tough. I couldn't talk to my friends because they would just change the subject. They didn't know what to say to me. And I kept all these emotions inside, building up and building up. And keep telling them, oh yeah, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay, or I'm okay, I'm okay. And until one point where I couldn't do that anymore and I broke down and I went to sleep one night, literally didn't wake up the next morning. And I was in a state of sleep for a couple of months. I fell into a very dark depression. I wasn't in school. I wanted to drop out of school altogether. And literally, I mean, when I would be up maybe, you know, very, very, for a very short window of time during the day. And during that time, I would just be crying. And I was angry at everything. I was angry at myself. I was angry at God. I was angry at the world. I didn't believe that I didn't understand why things were happening. And I didn't feel like I mattered. But the thing that hurt me most and the reason why I fell into such a dark place, when I was home for those couple of months, David, I'm telling you, not one person called. Not one person came to visit. Not one person. And that's really what made me feel that I wasn't here tomorrow, would anybody even notice? And I just wanted to give up on my life entirely. I mean, I was at a very scary depression, if you understand what I mean by that. And I was forced to go back to school, even though I didn't want to. And I wasn't the same when I was there, you know, wearing all black and, you know, writing morbid poetry. That was me. I was that kid all the way in the back of the classroom. And then one day, I'll remember this day like it was yesterday. I woke up in the morning and I was washing up in the bathroom and I was looking at myself in the mirror, like really looking at myself. And the scariest thing happened. I didn't see that 4-year-old kid that was dreaming of changing the whole entire world looking back at me. It was like somebody stole her from me. And I said, I have no idea how I'm gonna get back to the person that I was, but I said, this can't be my end. And I made a promise to myself. And I promised myself that I'd be there for people the way that I had wished somebody would have been there for me. That I would see people the way that I wished somebody would have seen me. That even though I was saying, oh yeah, I'm okay. You know, somebody would come and say, oh, you okay? And I'd say, yeah, I'm okay. Because I didn't trust that people really cared about me. And then they'd walk away and I'd prove to myself, you see, they don't really care. You know, so I wanted to be able to see people. And it's that promise that really led me to everything. And over those next couple of years of high school, I was walking alone. I didn't have a group of friends. And walking alone in high school is tough, you know? It's very tough. But like I said, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me because I got to do something that most people in their whole life, they don't get to do. I got to fall in love with myself for me. Not because I wanted to impress that kid or I wanted to be in that group. I wanted them to think I'm cool or there was nobody there. I got to fall in love with me for me. And it was in my senior year, on a seminar, I'll never forget it, we were in a circle and the teacher was talking about obstacles and I did something I never did before. I raised my hand to say something. And I had something to contribute to the conversation. And the craziest thing is that my peers, I mean, kids that were, I was so intimidated from, like, listening to me. And then crazier than that, coming to me after the session and asking me for advice. And that's when I said, you know, that feeling of the more I gave, the more I healed, the more I gave, the more I healed. And I recognized this power and literally started mentoring at-risk kids. I came out of my shell in a crazy way. I would get up in front of, you know, several hundred people and speak. But it was that promise that led me to teaching, that promise that led me to the organization, that promise that is going to continue to lead me every day when I question. Because even today, okay, and I'll tell you this to anybody, I don't care how successful people are, you will always question whether you're good enough. Always. And everyone goes through that. The thing is to realize that everyone goes through that. You're not alone in thinking that. And I have moments throughout the organization where I've gone through these slopes, you know, where I was so low, so low. And then finally said, you know what? I'm going to just trust in myself. I was trying to be everything else for everyone else. I said, I'm just going to trust in myself. I'm going to put in my all. And help to move up that, you know, help to, you know, overcome a lot of the different obstacles that have come about, whether it be through funding and literally, I mean, it's been 4 years I haven't made a dollar. You know, that's something that most, that's why people think I'm nuts, but I've literally invested, seriously, I've literally invested my entire savings into this organization. I live with my parents. You know, I wouldn't be able to do this if I wasn't, because I can't, like, there's no way I could pay rent. I have a donated space, you know, where I work out of, with a scary tiny team, even though we have hundreds of volunteers around the world, we have thousands of people reaching out to us. But, and it's very scary because, you know, it's tough to not be able to have that. But again, I have to keep reminding myself, why am I doing this? Yeah, I know why. I'm doing this because I believe that creating a kinder world is possible. But more than that, creating a world in which every single person in this world, if we all recognize and realize how fantastic we are and the power that we have and the ability that each and every one of us has to give something, we all have something to give, then we ourselves as a community, the world, can resolve all of the different issues that are going on in this world. We have the resources. We're just not believing enough in that, the power of ourselves. We're looking at others and saying that they can do it, and not pointing the fingers at us and saying, but there's something that I can do.
So Orly, when you were in this very dark place, what was it that gave you the courage to realize that you had something to give the world and it was important to do it? Were there influences that triggered something in you? What was it that made that shift possible?
That's a really great question. You know, it's funny. Most people don't even ask that kind of question to me. And I'll tell you, for me, faith, really, I mean, I was very much feeling alone at the time. And like I said earlier, I was angry at everybody. I was angry at the world. I was also angry at God. I'm a very spiritual person, you know. And people were not able to be there for me during that time. And honestly, like, my connection and my relationship with God, in terms of believing that, well, if I'm waking up, that means that, you know, even if other people are betting on me, that means that obviously he's betting on me that I'm going to do something positive. That's really what got me through the time, honestly. Even though I was angry, I was so angry, like, you know, but it strengthened me tremendously. So my faith base, which is very much, you know, very much about recognizing your value, very much so. I'm Jewish. And so much of it is very much about recognizing your value and recognizing the value in other people. And I mean, that really got me through. My family also got me through, even though they weren't able to be there for me in that sort of way. You know, your family is always there. And it's during the hardest times where you see, you know, we could have tons of friends, but our family are people that are going to be there, you know, through that thick and thin.
Hopefully.
You know, unfortunately, sometimes it's not the case. But, you know, it was able to get me through. But it really, if I was to say one thing, it was faith. It really was faith. And there are many, you know, talking about influences, there's a specific book that I think I've literally read, I don't know how many times. And when I first read it, I was like, wow, this is like everything I thought written in a book. It's like the weirdest thing. And it's called The Garden of Emunah. Emunah means faith, means belief. And I mean, I can't count how many times I've read this book. It strengthened my faith in a bigger way and pushed me forward to see, you know, the good within the seemingly bad. Because the thing is like this, there are gonna be hardships that are gonna come across. You can do everything right, you can do everything right, and there are going to be obstacles and there are going to be hardships that come our way, you know, but you have to be able to strengthen yourself and believe that, again, that obstacle, that hardship is there to help draw something out of you that had you not gone through it, you may not have found. Because to be honest, it was that moment in my life that is very much responsible for the person that I am today. Now, at the time, it stinks when you're going through something that bad and you don't necessarily see it. But it really helped me to draw something out within me. And this is really what started me off when I was 4 years old. My dad, you know, I always call myself, I'm a dreamer, you know. But it's the dreams of the world that are able to dream enough, big enough to be able to change it. But I remember being like a little kid and my dad tucking me into bed. And he himself is also a dreamer. He would always pursue these really big things that people told him he's crazy to pursue, like, or it would take a really long time, and understanding that things don't necessarily happen overnight, but if you continue to push forward and understand, it's gonna, you know, things are gonna come into place. He is the one that very much instilled within me as a kid that belief that anything is possible and that I had the ability to accomplish anything. And without his positive, because he instilled such a positive, optimistic viewpoint in my life, that even when I am down, and it's okay to get down, it's about helping yourself pick yourself back up. It's his voice, really. It's his voice. It's his faith through all the hardships that he's gone through and all the times that he's been hurt and he's been taken advantage of. It's his voice that very much pushes me forward.
Orly, let's shift and talk about kind of where things are now.
Sure.
What are you working on? What do we have to look forward to in the near future?
There is a lot of exciting things that are going on right now. One of the things that we're currently working on the most is our worldwide annual event. Every year we have an event that kicks off World Kindness Week. So I don't know if you know this, David, but World Kindness Day is on November 13th. And so what we do as Life Fest Inside, we kick off World Kindness Week with a worldwide event called Dance for Kindness. It's a worldwide freeze mob, flash mob that takes place in locations around the world all on the same day to the same song, the same dance. It's a combination freeze mob, flash mob. The purpose of the event is to show that regardless of the differences in race and religion, ethnicity, culture, and background, the common thread that ties us all together is kindness. And if we recognize that and realize that and embrace that, we have the ability to truly change the world. And so people register to become group leaders for their area. I mean, we've had group leaders from like ages 12 to 76 years old. And the skill sets that they learn are really tremendous. But this is sort of an ability to train them to incorporate kindness within to their own personal life, but also to within their community. And we help guide them through the process to get this event going. The group of people and the group leaders really come together like a family. That event is going to be on November 8th, Sunday, November 8th. And we're hoping to launch registration just in the beginning of September, so people will be able to register online for the location that's nearest them. The event this year is going to be in over 100 cities, 40 countries worldwide. We're looking to have something in the vicinity of 20,000 participants. So that is really an exciting, exciting thing that we have going on right now. At the same time, I'm also in the midst of finishing up a book that I'm writing, sort of like a lesson a day in terms of kindness, like an act of the day kind of book. And I'm really super excited about that. It's being published by Macmillan Publishers and hoping to get that done before the new year. One of the other projects that is so close to my heart, oh my goodness, is called Project Hope Exchange. So this is an initiative that was started with one of our kindness partners by the name of Adversity to Advocacy. They're an amazing nonprofit organization that basically helps turn people that have been through adversity into an advocate by pairing them up with someone that's going through the same adversity that they've faced or that they've gone through in their life. And what Project Hope Exchange is a platform where people can give hope and get hope all in 30 seconds. The idea is everybody's gone through adversity, whether it be physical health, mental health, or life challenge. And one of the best proven ways to get hope is by giving hope, because when you give hope, you're actually speaking to yourself as well. And so through the platform, we basically collect, aggregate, and share 30-second audio messages of hope from individuals that have been through adversity to others who are currently facing that same adversity. And it's all anonymous, and it's all done through voice. So if somebody, for example, God forbid, is going through, let's say, cancer, and they click on Get Hope, and they click on Physical Health, and they select Cancer, it will sort through all of the messages that people have left from around the world that are either going through cancer, have gone through cancer, have a family member that's going through it, and you can hear a 30-second clip from someone that is in that same situation. So you're not just hearing somebody say, oh, you're going to be okay, it's going to be fine. You're hearing somebody that's in the same position that you may still be in. And it's a very, very powerful platform. So we have hopes of, we've just finished designing the mobile app for this. People can actually go and record a message on our online platform at projecthopeexchange.com. But we just finished designing this mobile app. And right now we're really looking to hopefully partner with an organization or a company to help develop this and bring hope into the hands of millions around the world. So it's extremely exciting.
Well, Orly, you're involved in so many groundbreaking, remarkable activities that truly are world-changing that I'm almost afraid to ask this next question, which is, who else do you know who is doing remarkable work?
Wow, there are so many people that I can mention. I mean, any one of our kindness partners, like I mentioned, Adversity to Advocacy, the founder of Adversity to Advocacy, Jeff Bell, doing such amazing things in the adversity world of helping turn a person that is going through such difficult things in their life and giving them purpose and meaning, and helping them to become empowered themselves. And like I said, their organization is called Adversity to Advocacy. Somebody I recently met, his name is Roger Gorman. Oh my goodness, what a fantastic, amazing individual. He has a company that he started called ProFinder, which is basically, it's a talent matching and collaboration platform that uses various algorithms to connect the right talent with the right opportunities. So there are many people that are looking to change the world in a positive way, right? But they don't necessarily, like myself, have the resources perhaps, or the funding, or the capabilities to get certain things done. Meaning they're continuing to work on it, but so much can happen if they are connected with the right individual that can fit that role. So what he's done and he's doing is creating this amazing sort of matchmaking platform that, you know, if you are a change maker, a person that's creating this change, and you can sort of put out there the things that you're really needing and others that have the abilities and the capabilities to fulfill those needs, and creating a match so that these world-changing ideas can come into fruition in an amazing time span. So it's such a fantastic platform, and I think that that has the capability to truly transform things in the world. There are other platforms that are similar to it, but this, by far, by all the different things that I've seen from what he's shown me, is really exciting. The in terms of how he's looking to build this out further. So I'm very excited about that and getting and joining that community.
Those are great examples. So Orly, you're doing so many amazing things. How can listeners learn more about you and what you're up to?
Well, it's super, super simple. I would definitely recommend checking out our website at lifevestinside.com. You can also check us out on all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. We're on all those channels, and it's at lifevestinside. You can also access them, like I said, directly through our website. There are amazing ways to get involved that are listed right on our website. One of the things I'd recommend is even signing up. You don't even have to have a tremendous amount of time to do this, signing up to become a kindness ambassador. It's sort of like a point of entrance for people. And to sign up, it's just going to lifevestinside.com/ambassador. And you basically get connected with all of our global ambassadors that are in 120 countries worldwide. And every week you get a weekly kindness task from myself, and you get connected with these amazing individuals. And it's sort of an amazing support network of people, like-minded individuals that are looking to change the world and change their community in a fantastic way. So it's a simple way to at least get your feet wet. And then, of course, if you're interested in getting involved in our Dance for Kindness event, that's also on our website, or finding it at danceforkindness.com. And of course, you can email me directly. And my email address is Orly, O-R-L-Y, at lifevestinside.com. I love connecting with people. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Great. Orly, it's been such a pleasure having you on today. Thank you for sharing not only the information about what you're doing, but also your own personal history, your own story that is really so remarkable and so moving. So thank you again. My guest today has been Orly Waba, founder of Life Vest Inside. Thank you for being on Smashing the Plateau today, Orly. It's been a pleasure having you. You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.